Welcome to One in Christ, where the radiant story of Jesus come to life.
Good morning. Good morning. We are still on our journey on this the Psalms of Ascents. That we are at the Psalm 124 today. So as you know, the Psalm of Ascents is a collection of psalms ranging from 120 all the way to 134, with the three different themes repeated in five times. So you have a troubles, you have issues, now you have a trust, you have a triumph. So it's like a Christian journey. You're going to face, you're going to encounter issues in your life. Doesn't really matter what kind of issues you are facing now. Healthy issues, relational issues, career issues, and whatnot. So that will be the one theme. Then you're going to put on the trust, put your trust in the Lord. That will be the second theme. Then you're going to celebrate the triumph that the Lord has won for you. So that is in the collection of a Psalm of Ascents. It's been repeated five times. So three Psalms, 120, 121, 122, there'll be one, 23, 24, 25 will be one that will be repeated by itself. So we are in the 124 now. So last week we talked about lament, cry out to the Lord, and this time we're going to talk about the Lord and what kind of help we're going to have from the Lord and how do we interpret it. So when you read the Psalm of Ascents, it's less of an exegetical or hermeneutical kind of explanation of the psalm. Most of the psalms are very straightforward, self-explanatory. So we're going to spend most of the time doing so-called devotions, not necessarily explanations. We're going to focus on the certain words, and I'm going to give you something that you can really meditate upon, you can think about throughout the week. The beauty of the Psalm of Ascents are they are short. You can easily pick up the words. They can spend time for the whole week that's coming up. So let's read Psalm 124. Let's still read it. This is NIV. So I'm going to... This is NIV. 124. Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say... If the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us, and a torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare had been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, we come to you with you speaking to us first in Psalm 124. Oh, Spirit, open our heart as we expound your word. Weaken us so that we see the true God. Lord, that we bring our life in front of you. We want you to speak to us and give us heart to hear. And we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. 124 was written by David. In the 15 Psalms of Psalm of Ascents, only four were written by David, and one was written by Solomon. The rest of them, we don't know who the authors are. And we don't, when they wrote the Psalms, they put their life experiences in front of us, but we don't know exactly what they were experiencing at that time. But we do have some candidates I will share with you. But 124, it's not that hard to understand. So it comes with a rhetorical question. If the Lord was not on our side, if the Lord were not on our side, then that would just basically make you start thinking thinking this question, if the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord had not been on your side, what would happen to you? You can start thinking about it. This has been repeated twice. If the Lord had not been on our side, what would happen to you? Just in case you don't understand what would happen to you, the author give you four illustrations, four pictures that what could happen to you and what God had done to you. And at the end, he said, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Okay, so the three words I want you to focus. One, not three words, three phrases. One is, if the Lord had not been on our side. That's the first one. The second one is the dangers that we have been exposed to. The third is the help or the deliverer. How did God deliver us from all these dangers? So the first one, the question for you and for me, if the Lord had not been on our side, what would happen to us? Second, what are the dangers? What do you mean by dangers? Third, how the Lord had delivered us from the dangers. So this is more like a devotion. If you really want to see what was in David's mind when he wrote this psalm, one of the things you might want to consider is the 2 Samuel 2, chapter 2, all the way to chapter 5. Of course, we don't have time to read. 2 Samuel started with the king Saul was dead that time. The arch enemy is the Philistines. Those are the people that want to take over Israelites. Okay, now the king is dead, and David became a king at Hebron. He was not the king over all Israel just yet. They had to sort something out. So the Philistine people thought, okay, this is a great opportunity to wipe out the Israelites on from the earth because, you know, their king's dead, they got a new king. Let's just take them over. So that's what the setting. And in chapter 5, from chapter 2 all the way to chapter 5, something miraculous happened. Although Israelites were surrounded by the big, mighty Philistine army, David annihilated them in a very surprising way, a miraculous way, because the Lord was helping them. The Lord was actually attacking the army for David. So if you ever had an experience like this, and put yourself over there, you are in great danger. Anything. I mean, I just switched kind of an illustration from David's example to your situation. You're facing great danger. You were outmatched by the enemy around you. Now, all of a sudden, you pull it through. Triumph. Victory. What you going to do? What's your feeling? That's close. Must be smart, you know? I'm so lucky. Look at me. I can do it. You know? For example, you just can't find a job, okay, after college, no matter what your GPA is, 5 or 6, even a 6 GPA, I don't know. Just good, all right? Just good. You think you are the straight A students, you're the president of the club and stuff like those, just can't find a job. You just, month, weeks after months after, now you, if you're an international student, you know, you look at the OPT. Some people don't even know what that means, okay? That means you have a limited time to stay in the States to find a job, and your time is running out eventually, okay? And as you go along, go through the interview, and you have only visa, the people, I mean, you are running out of time. You are facing the big issues of not being able to find a job and going back to wherever you're from. So all of a sudden, all of a sudden, at the end, at the last day of your expiration day of your visa, boom, you got a job. What you gonna do? Are you gonna say those if the Lord was not on our side? I'm so lucky, man. Look at me. I pulled it right string. I made the right phone call. I talked to the right person. That was very close. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. By the way, thank the Lord. Or the people around you will probably say, how did you do it? Wow, you must be really good. Crafty, smart, intelligent. What happened to you? Wow. That's what Israelites would say to David. He's our new king now. We were surrounded by the Philistine army. King Saul was not able to do it. Now you're the new king. You pull it through. You annihilated all the enemies. How did you do it? Wow, King David. Yes, you're smart. Yes, you are mighty. Yes, you are great. When David was writing the psalm, he is telling the Israelites, his audience, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would be wiped away. So it's not me. It's not education. It's not my physical strength. It's not I'm smart. It's nothing. It's none of those. If not had been the Lord on our side. So that's the thing. That's the main theme when David was writing the psalm, he's trying to let people know. So put yourself in those situations. If had the Lord not been on our side, what would happen to you? The one thing I know what would happen to me is I would not be sitting here, let alone standing here. I would be somewhere else doing bad stuff. And I'm not going to unpack my life story, but I'm going to unpack the word from the scripture a little bit. So that's the first thing. Make you really think if had not been for the Lord on your side. Okay. Being repeated twice in verse 1 and verse 2. So starting from verse 3 and 4, David give you very vivid pictures. Those pictures, kind of like brutal and bloody, that's exactly what it means. And he gives you the pictures to let you know the dangers that you think it's much more serious than you really think. You think, it's just a job thing. It's not that bad. He's giving you the four pictures to tell you the situation is impossible to pull through. You can't just overcome it. It's too big to overcome. Your little bit of intellect, your craftedness, and your way of dealing your life, nothing's going to work. What are the four pictures? The wild animals, the flood, and the gulf, and the eating, and the snare. Let me just go in one by one, very quickly. The first one, if it had not been the people attack us, they would have swallowed us alive. Swallowed us alive is the big animal, the big lizard or something. When they eat the small animal, they don't use forks and stuff, we cut it and all that. Just like, that's it. Done. The rats, the small things, yeah, like that. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Golf. Alive is the thing. Swallowed alive. That means you have no chance to live. Before you know it, you're done. It's over. You're dead. So he's like, let me calculate. Am I going to attack? I'm going to escape? I will escape. No, you will not. You're dead. Swallowed. That's the first thing. Second, let's go. Second is the flood that would have engulfed us. This flood is not the flood in your basement. Okay, slow rising flood, go in your basement, you call the construction and you pull them over. No. This is a tsunami. Before you know it, you're done. It's like we have a flood coming over to the church. Take about 10 seconds, everybody's dead. There's no way, no matter how fast you move to the roof, no, doesn't really matter how high you can jump. I mean, even Patrick would not be able to pull it through. If you're facing this flood, you know, he's the builder guy. He probably jumped over there. We are equally dead. That's that. Engulf us, okay? That's a tsunami, raging water. That's a second picture. The third picture, the torrent, the raging water would have swept us away. Praise to the Lord who have not let us torn by their teeth. This is another kind of animal. This is, my goodness, this is like a wolf, the wild dog. They cut the animal in their teeth and shake it to death. If you're a small animal, you have no chance to live. There's another way. The other one is to swallow alive. This one, the grip by the teeth. Yeah, that's a third one. We have another one to go. Another one is you're trapped. Like snared. When I read this, and always thinking of the policeman somewhere in the waiting for you to go over 70 miles per hour, then you don't even know where they are. They just, when you see it, it's like, they're right behind you. You look at you, you are going from 70 all the way to 40 and 50. You know, you are snared. They are just, they've been waiting there for the whole morning just for you to show up. They're not the bad guys, okay? I'm just using the picture to show you that when you are in that net, you are the bird, you are something. When you are in that net, you are doomed. There's no way for you to escape. There's only one consequence, being caught and being cooked or something. So that's a picture I have. So you got the wild animal, you got the raging water, you got another wild animal, you got your fowler or someone can really trap you. All these pictures are trying to show you that you are outmatched by your enemies. There's no way for you to escape. It's not like, yes, if I got this PhD, I can pull it through. I can beat the job market. If I can learn this, if I can learn that, if I can pull this relationship, if I know this, and you know, there's nothing you can do to overcome the dangers. That's the picture's trying to show. That's the picture's trying to show. The enemies you and I know, Christians, the enemies we are against are not someone, not the policeman, okay, not the government, not the president, and not the lefty and the right, and not those people. According to the Bible, I'm not just making that up. Our enemies are the roaring lions ready to eat you alive. That's 1 Peter 5:8. If you go to Ephesians 6:12, we're not against the blood and the flesh. We're against the rulers and authorities, the principalities, and they are the power of the dark world and the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. So we're not against the someone or some material things. And all this, you know, job market and all this, yes, they're difficult. And even someone to trying to, you know, trap you, you know, political campaign that they want to overcome you and stuff. No. The ultimate animals are the spiritual forces. Why am I saying that? The reason I'm saying that is to just tell you that there is no way for you to overcome it. There's no way for you to overcome it. And it's very easy for you to be trapped, to be swallowed, to be torn apart. Give you some illustrations. I work in jail. The one thing I learned when I work in jail is how easy for people to get in jail. How easy for you to get in jail. Okay, you drink some beer with friends. You get on the street. 60 miles per hour, Then you see this thing. Then you think that guy's really irritating me. You get out of your car, start yelling at the policeman in jail. You want to try that? I want to see you in jail tomorrow. Very quickly, very easy to get in jail. That's the point is, if you don't know how dangerous you are in this world, the enemies you are facing, you will be very, very not careful. I just give you an example. You guys are here. You're the good guys. Come on Sundays. Probably most of you reading your Bible. Yes. Devotions and stuff, and you follow the Lord, and at least that you pursue to follow the Lord. Imagine this. If you don't read your Bible, you probably have been there and done that. If you don't read your Bible for 3 weeks, that's a picked on word, you will most likely live as the secular person and your neighbor, exactly the same. If you don't come to church for a month, you're not going to come because you don't have the habit cultivated. You're going to do the Sunday is the only day you're off or something like that. What you're going to do? You're either as lazy as watching TV or scribbling those things, or maybe you just low mow your lawn. Maybe you want to do your entertainment, hunting, boating, or whatever you do. You're going to be busy with everything that you'll be busy with. Then you are going to live like your next door neighbor, as secular as they are. That's how easy you're going to be engulfed before you even know it. You will be swallowed alive very, very easily because we let the guard down. That's how dangerous our enemies are. These pictures are very, very bloody, but they'll try to give you the example how easy we can be taken over by our enemies, how easy we are if you are not paying attention. As easy as that. You don't have to go to some country that being put into prison, persecuted, and all the type of thing. You don't need. You can be eaten alive even today. Lots of people come to church. They sing a song. They don't know. I don't care about what they say from the Bible. I just want to get it over with so that I can go to my TV or whatever, your tablet, in the afternoon to live my own life. You are being eaten before you know it. So that's the picture. Verse 3 all the way to verse 6 is trying to show us. That's the second word. The danger, the danger, the danger, the danger, the danger. The enemy's very serious, ready to take you over. I'm not trying to exaggerate. I'm just trying to tell you the reality. I've been there. I've done it. If I don't read my Bible, my life is just dry. Everyone can just ignite me and become more angrier. I want to depend on some other stuff. I want to entertain myself. I want to be more self-centered. I will be the prey of the enemy very quickly. So that's the second point. The third point is just verse 6 and verse 8. I will just use the one word you can meditate on, the deliverer. Deliverer. Verse 8 is, our help is in the name of the Lord. If you really want to meditate on one word, one phrase this whole week, that's verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord. That's a deliverer. Okay, how did God deliver us from all these dangers? Verse 6, it says, praised be the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. So the first thing you know is God has not given you up. Oh, yes, we are surrounded by all these enemies and the problems. The first thing when God wanted to deliver us or promised to deliver us is not to give you up. He's not going to let you be torn apart by the enemies. That's the first thing. You, whenever you think God has given you up, you think God is absent in your life, you think God is just whatever over there, it's totally irrelevant and absent, that is a lie. That is a lie. Because God has not given you up. Even if you have given yourself up, you think it's over, it's done, I have to go back to my computer in the dark to do some dirty stuff, I have to do it, there's no way I can, I try it. Yes, the enemies are still there, but you think God has given you up, that's a lie. That's the first thing. God has not given you up, according to verse 6. He has not let you to be torn by their teeth. And verse 8, it's very interesting. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Name of the Lord. Name of the Lord is not just a Christian mystical code. Okay? You come with all of the Hebrew word, you call it different names, you just pull out these things, boom, you things done. No. Name of anyone shows who this guy is. If you don't know John Thompson, for you, it's just an English word put together. John Thompson, There's a John Thompson in the jail. I'm sorry. You could be saying, oh, there's the inmate John Thompson. John Thompson, there's John Thompson. But if you know when I mention the name John Thompson in this word, in this church, you're going to think about this guy. Hopefully, if you know him, you know what he loves, you know what he hates, you know who his wife is, you know where he lives. Basically, that's a vivid picture in front of you. It's not just a code for you. It's not just some English name, English word put together, meaningless. When you call a name, when there's a name, that means this guy has a characteristic, his attributes and natures and everything together with it. So when you say the name of the Lord, it challenges you to think about how much do you even know this God. You can call Jehovah. You can call all these kind of different names. I'm going to give you some of the names you can meditate on. But the key thing is, do you really know him? Or it's a John Thompson, a very remote English word somewhere. I don't know. Maybe I know a little bit, but I really don't know him. It's just a meaningless English name. Do you know him? When you are in trouble, when you really think you need some help, but no one is providing any help, do you know that God's name is Jehovah Jireh? Genesis 22. When everything fails, when the most impossible things got allowed to happen, Abraham took his son. God provides. And he said his name is Jehovah Jireh. Do you know him enough to say, okay, I can call his name because I know what he has done before? And I know his name so that I know the help is going to come from that. Or when you think you are really, really downcasted, there's no way you think you are in deep addiction, okay? You've tried psychology, you tried psychiatry, you tried chemicals, you tried everything. Nothing is going to deliver you. Nothing, no one is fighting for you. You're by yourself, alone. Do you know God's name is the Jehovah Nissi? He is your banner. It's not you are trying to fight the war. You are trying to fight addictions. You are trying to fight all things. He is doing it for you. Someone, somehow, and the Holy Spirit is praying for you. Do you even know that? You think you are absolutely lonely in the battlefield? It's all up to you to get this Christian thing right. No. His name is Jehovah Nissi. And do you think you have no guide? You don't know how to face the future. Uncertain future. Should I marry this guy? Should I get on this job? Should I make this kind of decision? Should I move to different cities? When you call God the name, his name is Jehovah Roy. That's a Psalm 23 thing. He's our pastor. Call his name, he will take you to the pastor. He will lead you over there. What we just don't believe, I would rather call John Thompson. Nah, it's a good word. You call his name, and his help is in his name. You think you're lonely? No one cares about you. No one really wants to be in your life. No one wants to know you. No one wants to accept you. You are all by yourself, alone. Do you know Jesus' name is called Emmanuel? And God to be present with us? You think you're no help? You have been facing all the dark time yourself. Do you know that Jesus has been to the Garden of Gethsemane? He has been there and has done that. And he earned the qualification to be with you, to tell you that, yes, I understand what you've been through. So when you say that, verse 8, his help is in the name of the Lord, how many names do you know about this guy in the very tangible, meaningful way? If you don't know it, you don't know God enough to pull you through all the dangers you'll be surrounding. And I'm sorry to say, you're most likely doomed because of the enemy. It's so big, an enemy we cannot overcome. 1 John 3:8, I believe. He says, he appeared, Jesus, when he talked about Jesus Christ, he appeared to destroy the work of the devil. So that shows that there's one verse. It's very, very powerful, one verse. Yes, Jesus Christ came. He came to die on our behalf. No? He came to redeem us, to save us. They're all right, no problem. He came to get us to be with the Father. That's all right. But according to 1 John 3:8, he appeared to fight the devil. So the fight that you have against all the devils and your own enemies, against all the enemies, you think you are pick up your will, you know, New Year's resolution kind of thing. You know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to cut myself to do it, that type of thing. Okay, you can make all the determinations, all the decisions you can make. That's fine. That's sometimes helpful. Most of the time, don't. But you know one thing. This is not your fight. This is the Lord's fight, and he's been fighting for you. And you know what? He won the game. He won the fight already. We just don't think that way. We think the devil is so big. This is so dark. You're in Lynchburg. That's a little bit different. If you drive 1 hour either direction, you'll be surrounded by the people who really mock what you believe, who really think you are the stupidest, there's such a word, person in this world. To believe such, you are on the wrong side of history. You are this and you are that. You're a bigot. You're hatred. They give you all the labels you can have. You think you can win the game? You would never win the game. Even Kirk has got killed. But when you think the darkness is so big, so overwhelming, there's one thing that I want you to give encouragement. The Lord is our warrior. You are not. You're not qualified to fight the fight. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, when David was trying to speak with the Lord, he was really asking, should I just go up to fight the Philistine when it's the right timing to do it? He was trying to pray to the Lord. And God, really, I wish I had that kind of a vivid, you know, conversation with the Lord. But this is what the Lord said in chapter 5, verse 23. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, the Lord answered, do not go straight up, but a circle around behind them and attack them in front of the people, in front of the poplar tree. Verse 24, as soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar tree, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. What does that mean? You know, do something, okay? You still do. Circle around, go behind a poplar tree. But as soon as the Lord is moving, you know God has been fighting for you. Just basically go along. Someone's winning the game. It's like an NBA game, okay? You know, NBA six still playing six games against two teams. It's like the Lord has won most of them. I mean, you know it's 109-9. It's the game is over. When that happened, who's going to go up to the court to play? John Thompson would be the one. The bench player. The people who have never had the chance to play on the court, they would just go up and they think they're the NBA player. They're the bench player. I mean, the game is done. It's over. It's overwhelmingly done. You think, yes, we won. You didn't win the game. You're the bench player. Yes, you're being called to do something. Yes, yes, you celebrate one way or another. And you put a little big really gold medal in front of everybody. You didn't do nothing. We didn't do nothing. We think we won the game. We think we are faithful. We think we're really obedient to the Lord. We think we're good Christian. We give the money. We come. We preach the gospel. We are the pastors. We are this. We are that. You think we didn't do nothing. Nothing. The battle was won by the Lord. We're here. It's not because we are faithful. It's because He is faithful. If not being for the Lord, you will be far away from this place. You'll be done. You'll be doomed. You'll be engulfed. You'll be eaten alive already. Keep that in mind. The Lord, the battle belongs to the Lord. We call Him, His help in His name. Do you know Him enough? Do you know that you are surrounded by the enemies who's ready to take you over? Don't even think you can win the battle, because you will not. The Lord is our help. How do I know He's helping us? How do I know exactly He's going to do this? The answer is we don't know how He's going to pull it through, but He said He would. How do I know how I'm confident? The song is that we are confident is in the faithfulness of the Lord. His faithfulness is revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. I always come to this point. There's only one place I can go to gain the confidence in what the Lord is saying, because He's not just a God who says, He's the God who does. He came here 2,000 years ago before you and I were even born. He died on the cross so that he shows that He cares, and He solved the problem of the enemies for you. He's done it. He did it. And it's finished. Yes, you're still in the battle. The game has to be, you know, played. They haven't done the thing, you know, end the game. The battle's still going on, but the battle's been won. Yes, the enemy's still, you're playing not the people's the court. I mean, you're surrounded by people who are against you. When you play a 3-point, people are like, oh. If you are in your host court, when you do that, and people, oh yeah, they do this. But you're surrounded by the enemies. You still when you score point, you probably still be shot down. But hey, we're winning. That type of thing. So 124 is not that hard to understand. But if it had not been for the Lord to be on your side, you're surrounded by the dangers, and the battle is won. So when you're in trouble, when an issue, I don't know what the issues are, verse 20, verse 8 is going to be your comfort for today. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are so undeserving. You are worthy. We are so unworthy. We are like a sheep, stupid sheep. We follow our own instinct. We follow the world. We follow our own comfort. And we are trapped and we are arrogant. We did not even want to be helped. We think we can pull it through, then we're doomed. Oh, Lord, help us. Open our eyes to see the dangers we are surrounded. Lord, keep our heart pure. Lord, use your beauty to attract us, to stir our heart, to motivate us, to be willing to follow you. Oh, Lord, you are glorious, Lord, and you're victorious, Lord, because you have won the battle for us on the cross. When the Son said, "It is finished," oh, Lord, it is finished. Yes, we are still in this world. We are still facing the roaring lion who is eager to engulf us. But the Lord, take us to the cross. Lift our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's finished. Lord, give us peace and give us the comfort. Give us the confidence in your faithfulness. Your name be glorified. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please subscribe if you like our content. One in Christ is a multi-ethnic church. You're more than welcome to join us and to worship our Lord together. And we'd like to hear your unique stories with Jesus in the future.